Can we just get a sense of who all is on right now?
Ina Nuttall.
Hi, Ina.
How are you?
Pat Rohr.
Hi, Pat.
Kay Bicey from Seattle University.
Hi, Kay.
Hi. Margaret Beebe Frankenberger.
Great.
Ginny Harvey, UMass Boston.
Hi, Ginny. How are you?
Okay.
Frank Smith, Georgia Department of Education.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Sue.
Dave Schreiberg at Miami University.
Hi, Dave.
Ken Greff at Seattle University.
Hi, Ken.
And Lisa Persinger with NSEAM.
Hi, Lisa.
Greetings.
I heard John Lasser, right?
I'm here.
And this is Aviva Dabani from Seton Hall. It's my first time joining the group. Hi, everybody.
Hello. Welcome.
And you pronounce your first name?
Aviva.
Aviva, oh, great. Anybody else? Great, there's 11 then here. I'm also sitting with a group of wonderful future school psychologists around the table, some doctoral students at the University of Nebraska. I'll go ahead and introduce them if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Diane Martai, Katie Woods, Ashley Rolk, Michelle Swanger, Katie Black, Jenny Berg, and Andy Garbaz.
Hello.
So we have quite a group.
Yeah.
Thank you all very, very much for taking the time to look at the materials that we send, think about ways that you can be involved, taking time out of your day today to talk about this exciting task force and where we might be able to go, and more importantly, where we might be able to move the field. I'm just going to go ahead and start with the agenda, but let me ask if everybody received that.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. So we should have received an agenda for today's conference call. Hopefully we'll stay on track with that. You should have received another document that the title is Future Task Force and Work Group, and it lists out some of the materials development that we've engaged in thus far, and a copy of a communique article that will be coming out in February. So that'll be coming across your desk real soon, I think. Did somebody else join us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, I've been listening to you, so please go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So, and everybody's hopefully retrieved those materials, and we can just go forward then at this point. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. One of the real reasons for sending the communique article to you is so you would hear a little bit about the history. Now, some of you have been involved with this task force since its inception back at the Futures Conference in 2001. Was that the year? Boy, I don't even remember.
I know. It's running.
How long ago was that, Ina? And I felt it would be very helpful for everyone to see a little bit of the transgression of this group and how we've moved along. Progression of the group. The goals of this task force were articulated and defined at the Futures Conference. And since that time, an initial smaller group of individuals engaged in some discussions, activities, brainstorming meetings where we thought about beyond the goals, how we could put into place some action steps to really realize those goals for the field. And I chose not to send those action plans around because they're very lengthy and cumbersome to get through. But suffice it to say that there are some important steps associated with each of those goals, and we've made some very good progress in relation to some of those goals by following through on those action steps. If anybody would like to see that action plan, I'd be happy to send it to you individually, and so just let me know. The goals are threefold. The first goal, and I don't have, let's take a look at that. The first goal is concerned with identifying evidence-based models related to effective family-school partnerships. There was a lot of energy at the Futures Conference for those who participated either live or by remote site around the movement of the field into arenas that really capture evidence-based practices. Mm-hmm. And in the area of family school partnerships, it is no different. We were very serious about bringing the scientific base into our practice, linking research and practice, and really promoting what we believe to be the best practices in our field for the work that we do. The second goal then moves to an emphasis on focusing on how we can infuse these evidence-based practices in the everyday practice of school psychologists. So this would involve things like in-service training, ensuring that school psychologists engage in activities that really does promote family-school partnerships. And the third goal concerned pre-service education and training of school psychologists. And so we're looking at ways to really enhance the preparation of our future school psychologists in the area of partnering with families. There is some overlap in B and C, with one being more in-service and one being more pre-service, but obviously the materials that are developed, the practices and strategies that we would employ would be different depending on whether or not we're talking about practitioners or students in the field and training programs. Any questions about those goals and
no.
the action steps? Okay, so what we've done then, thus, you know, is since that time, is began moving forward. Now, the first goal, we were very fortunate in partnering with Dr. Cindy Carlson and her group of graduate students at the University of Texas at Austin. They have been involved in the evidence-based intervention movement in our field, actively involved in helping develop some of the coding modules and materials for evidence-based interventions. And Cindy and Sandy Christensen were really spearheading the family-school partnership or family intervention area from the standpoint of identifying the evidence to support interventions in that area. And they did an exhaustive search of the literature at UT Austin and identified across six different domains, including family school interventions with preschoolers, parent consultation, parent education, homeschool collaboration, parent involvement, and parent training. So in those six domains, they did an exhaustive search and employed the EBI coding materials and coding procedures that are very rigorous, actually.
Yeah, they were.
Identify 15 models of involving family intervention or family school partnership that have sufficient research and scientific basis to be considered evidence-based or certainly very promising in the area of evidence-based intervention. And we took those and worked with Cindy on that, not on the coding, but on taking their review of the literature then and translating that into now some materials for dissemination. And that's really where we're at now. So what we have are summaries of these 15 models, and in the attachment that I forwarded, table one of the work group document has these 15 evidence-based intervention models identified by type. So you'll see three different interventions identifying with the family school interventions with preschool children.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see two models of parent consultation that have received sufficient, adequate research, attention, and support, and it goes on then to the other areas. So for each of these 15 models or interventions with preliminary evidence to support their efficacy, we have one-page summaries that are very, very, very near completion that identifies what it is, what the research says, what some of the strengths and weaknesses of the literature or the research base is, so that as we develop training materials then, we are focusing on those kinds of models that we know
okay.
have as evidence-based. Mm-hmm. Did somebody want to mention something? I thought I heard Did somebody else join us too in the last?
Yeah, this is Kathy Lyons from Colorado.
Oh, hi, Kathy. Nice to join. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Talk with you. We've got about, I don't know, 12 or so plus another 7 or 8 graduate students on the call right now.
Great.
So that's where we're at. We have these summaries, and we've begun to develop some modules, which will take us into the next, you know, part of the call here, of the agenda in discussing the achievements that we've made thus far. These developments, too, have occurred over the course of the last couple of years through conference calls like this one, through meetings at NASS, through exchanging of information back and forth among some of the original task group members. Now, some of the original task group members have gone on to other things, and that's perfectly fine, and I appreciate those who have hung on and continue to work with us. But we're feeling like we're at a place now where we've made some really good progress. We are able to hopefully begin piloting some of this very soon, but the energy and ideas and thoughts of this group, this sort of expanded task force now, will really be important to jumpstart the work and to really make it happen in a significant way. The other thing I should mention is that there's so much room for growth, and there's so much room for enhancing the ideas and the products that we already have, and I'm very much looking forward to your thoughts and ideas on ways that we can continue to improve upon the initial steps that we've taken. So I'm doing a lot of talking here, but I hope that you all feel comfortable jumping in and making suggestions and that sort of thing as we go. What I'd like to do by the end of the call today is actually have some work teams developed where we can have people associated with certain areas to take and to move along. So think about that, too.
I was just going to add that other groups are, you know, getting into our business, and it's very good. APA has now this committee that is planning a conference this July, and it's on the interdisciplinary conference on family school relations, organized by CYF. And what is nice about it is that interdisciplinary is going to include all kinds of different people, including policymakers, including sociologists, economists, anything you can think of. But it's mostly, you know, what we're trying to do. Finding across discipline, you know, empirical research findings across disciplines on the role of family school relations for children, educational outcomes to identify factors that promote or inhibit the development of family school relations. I would like us to, you know, to get connected. I am very much part of it, and I'm looking at everything they do and telling them what we're doing.
Did you say they were having a conference this summer or a meeting this summer?
No, we already had a meeting in the summer, but we're going to have a conference at Duke. Duke has a center that does a lot of these conferences, and they produce manuscripts in different areas.
Uh-huh.
And the woman there is called Nancy Hill.
Uh-huh.
She's done a lot of work in this area. And a lot of other people that have done different kinds. It's going to be, you know, it is interdisciplinary. So it looks, you know, it looks very good, but it's also very practical because they have the practice, the policy, and we're going to have some people from the policy office of APA that is going to think of how to get to the Senate and to the government and see how, you know, monitor anything that comes along on this topic.
That will be really important for us to keep a close pulse on, Ina, because, you know, as we look at all of this, we can continue to sort of talk among ourselves, but we really need to be thinking about policy issues, I think.
That's it.
And that is a totally different audience. That would require totally different action steps. But I think we would be very wise to, at least some of us, be moving in that direction. And I'm really happy to hear that you're involved. I heard about that, and I didn't know who was representing school psychology.
No, actually, I talked to you about it, and I was trying to get Sandy. You know, the policy office of APA could work with us. I mean, we are members of APA. You know, future conference was everybody involved.
That's a great idea.
And they are, you know, they're very interested, especially they have a minority angle that they would like to pursue, and they really are very good at looking at anything that comes in the horizon that affects school psychology, children's schools,
Great.
So I think I have told her about this, and we will be meeting soon. We have to talk about what's going to be in this conference, and I will suggest some of you people that might be part of the conference. We are now in the process of suggesting participants, suggesting issues, and
who is the person at the APA policy office that is working with you on this?
It's Toro. It's a woman, Toro. She's a Hispanic woman that is a lawyer. So you call POP, and she will be,
How do you call that?
Like Toro means like a T-O-R-O.
Okay.
As a bull in Spanish.
Yeah, Toro. It is a bull in Spanish.
Yeah, but she's very good. She's very young, and she's very enthusiastic. And also the woman in charge of this office, Garrison, she's been very, very good.
Okay.
Yeah, they want action. They want action, okay?
Good. That's what we're about.
I know.
Okay. One of the things, let's back up a little bit and talk about the specific materials that have been developed thus far. In our planning, we were very serious about making putting into play some materials that would be very user-friendly, that could be easily disseminated and broadly disseminated to begin really infusing this area into the field. And we conceptualize that in a series of modules that are associated with the general sort of notion of family school partnerships, and also each of those six types of evidence-based interventions. So the modules then that we are developing cover nine different areas. The first three are more general information. So in the attachment that I sent around that has the future task force and work groups identified, in the left column you'll see module on general information about family school partnerships, process variables. These are those. We were very concerned that we wanted to make sure people understood that embracing an approach that is really serious about partnering with families requires more than just implementing a program.
Mm-hmm.
And the prerequisite conditions or the environmental, ecological kinds of conditions that need to be in place to really meaningfully partner with families and bring families and schools together in active and constructive ways requires more than just a cookbook intervention approach.
Mm-hmm.
So the background information includes these variables or conditions that are necessary to really support homeschool partnerships in schools and communities, as well as cultural considerations. And then beyond that, we are thinking of modules that would address each of the types of evidence-based models that have then identify. Let me back up, and it's not each of the 15, but within the six domains, we would develop a module that talks about best practices, evidence-based practices for family school interventions with preschool children, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, evidence-based practices
yep.
for parent consultation, for example.
Yeah.
Evidence-based practices or interventions for parent education. Okay, so really encompassing both the background characteristic information, which would be involved in different modules, juxtaposing that then with the evidence-based models, we think is a way to really move the whole sort of emphasis forward. Each of these modules involve quite a few things. We did put together a very brief video clip and posted it to a website for you to look at before the conference call today. Did people have a chance to take a look at that?
Yes.
Yes, yes I did.
Hey, if you like Katie Woods' autograph,
she did a great job.
She's sitting here at the table.
Okay.
Hopefully it provided you with a nice idea then of what we are thinking about in terms of these modules. On the agenda and attached to the other table, we also listed out the different aspects of the models that are developed, of the modules as we've been developing them. But we're really thinking very much about how to make it as user-friendly and practical as possible. Can I just an initial thoughts about that? Was it enough information to give you an idea of what we're talking about here?
It was very helpful.
You know what, can you identify yourself before you talk, please?
Okay, this is Margaret B.B. Frankenberger. And it was very helpful to me to see exactly what you had in mind.
Okay, and what did you think about what we have in mind?
I think it looks really highly structured, something that would be very easy for people to follow and really a great tool for trainers. I think it looks good. I really wouldn't have any suggestions to add to it, I think.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And it's well presented.
Pardon me, Margaret?
It was well presented as well.
This is Kathy Lyons from Colorado. I had a question. I really liked it also, by the way. It was really fun, actually, to do that. I was an attendee at Futures, an on-site participant at Futures, and have been communicating with Pat Harrison around a module that they're working on.
Oh, yeah, he's up here, actually, too. Yeah.
And I just wondered how this all fit together, because I'm very excited about it. But I think they have one on families also. Is that?
Well, my understanding of what they are doing is putting together continuing professional development materials.
Okay.
And I have a copy of it, actually. I've agreed to look at it. I've just started to do that.
I wondered, I'm actually a school psych supervisor of a mental health staff. And just how that all fits, so whether it's pre-service or whether it's actually, you know, ongoing staff development, how that all fit together.
Theirs, I think, is more, again, my sense is that it's individualized, it's sort of a for CPD.
Okay.
You need those hours. Not as interactive.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're talking about. The question about how these all come together is really an excellent question. I won't go into kind of the background here, but there is a real need to integrate efforts among the Futures, different groups that are working on Futures initiatives.
Uh-huh.
And John DeRochers, some of you know John, I know.
Uh-huh.
Pat, you helped me get connected up with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to join the conference call today, but couldn't. In any event, says he organizes efforts at the across states, is my understanding, and what different states are doing in this arena. So that group, too, is integrated. And, in fact, many of you, I think, became interested in working with us because of a meeting that he had and that, Pat, you were at NASP last year. Is that right?
Yes.
So a number of you learned about our initiative. So our approach is that we continue. This group was formed at the Futures Conference as one of the main work groups related to family school partnerships, and so we're really hitting this content area in a real deliberate, focused way,
mm-hmm.
and we'll over time continue to integrate with some of the other efforts and initiatives, but this is the only group that is really dedicated to this topic. The stuff that Patty Harrison is doing cuts across all the domains that
right.
we address at the Futures Conference. And it's for a much more specific purpose.
Okay, that's helpful.
I have a question about
yes.
Cape IC in Seattle. I have a question about the module that you've already developed.
Who is this?
I'm assuming that it could be adapted to both pre-service and in-service. What time frame? Have you actually used it, and over what time period would it take?
We've not piloted any of the modules yet. We have three that are near completion, very near completion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one on multicultural considerations, Ina and she have done a little bit of work on already, I know,
yes.
and they continue to do some work on that, so we can talk about that in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will depend and how it can be in the ways that people want to use it. We're trying to develop in a way that is very flexible. So, for example, a trainer at a university could pick it up, and if they had the entire set of materials, could structure a course around it
mm-hmm.
over the course of a semester, because it's also, it's got PowerPoint presentations, maybe not 16 over a 16-week semester, but there's handouts, case studies, training video, training scripts in some cases, training videos, what else, case studies,
yes.
activities. So really, we couldn't define or impose how it would be used for an audience like that, but there's a lot of flexibility in it.
Okay.
Similarly, if a district you know, wanted to pick it up and use it for continuing professional development of their school psychologists or interdisciplinary teams, I could envision that this might be something that would be useful over the course of, you know, a school year.
I see.
Taking different pieces of it and, you know, using it as background information to promote development of this area in a particular school building or district level.
And this is Pat Rohr. Another way we were talking about within our state is we have regional districts because we're a small state, but we have regional meetings, and we were thinking that we could possibly use those at regional meetings to for continuing ed.
I have also found that in classes that I include some, you know, now this parent involvement section on the seminar in school psychology. And I have used your book, and I have, you know, the Dearborn videotape, which is excellent. And they have to visit the school, and we may go to the Dearborn, the whole class, because I find that this has to be real.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what I would like to do now, I like to get all the supervisors in, and let's plan something at your site and with the seminar to try to link everything together, because you have too many people that don't know about this topic. So, you know, you only have to work with the teachers, and you have to work with the parents. You have to work with the administration. This administration part, you know, the policy and the administrative part, we also have to, school committees. I think that is, you know, that is where change really starts, as we know. So, and that is, you know, I'm trying to think how to do that part, even as part of the seminar, so they learn how to, you know, interact in a systemic way with the community, which we I always carry in our, you know, being a kids, but we don't get out of school. You have to get into, you know, into the school committee meetings and so on. So that I think your students love this. It's so interesting, and I think it's too, you know, terribly important. This also group that APA is doing is very interesting. The minority aspects of it, and they are really emphasizing also adolescents, because there's so little adolescents.
That's good. Yeah.
So one of the things as we talk about all this is, we need money. We need money for, you know, assistance and people that kind of help us put all this, you know, material together, try it out, then begin.
That's
like,
right.
You know, like in the minority area, there's so little research done on how this works in minorities. But so I'm trying right now to think, when I go to Washington, I'm going to have to try to find some, you know, federal agencies that I can go and sell them this. So it's a big job.
Yeah, the idea is that these are meant to be very, very flexible for all these different kind of purposes. And as Ian is talking about, it's really going to rely partly, if not largely, on the user.
Yeah.
Are you looking
creative
for,
with them?
Are you looking for trainers who could pilot these modules right away?
Well, what do you think, group? I'm looking at all my doctoral students who have worked so diligently on putting them together.
Yeah.
Are they ready yet? Some are very close to being ready, yeah. We're at a stage right now where we're doing sort of a final edit, and then we would like to send them around and disseminate them. And I don't know if the best – who was that asked the question?
Oh, I'm sorry, Kay in Seattle.
Kay, okay. And Kay, I know you've got some things, too, that you've worked on with Ken, is that right?
Yes, Ken is teaching a course this spring quarter.
And, right now?
It's coming up in later. And I haven't talked to him directly about this question, but if you're looking for people who've already got a course set up who might want to try one of the modules or more, I think we would certainly consider that.
Ken, you're on the call, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
This is Ken in Seattle University, Ken Greff, and this is the kind of thing I was thinking as well in terms of how we might bring these into an existing course that we are offering in Family School Collaboration.
We
feature a lot of the as you were describing, background variables, and then have the students do some literature review to look at effective models. And although it seems like you are now identifying that perhaps based on the more exhaustive research that you did, that these are the models that are presenting as the ones to use as fundamental examples in these different areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're the ones that hold research, that have research support.
And have adequate outcomes, evidently, in that research.
Right. And but to answer your question, I think it would be great if people are interested in field testing some of these and piloting these.
I think, you know, so if you're ready, because this course started like 2 weeks ago, and we land at the end of May, I could have two or three students work on it. I think it will be a wonderful experience for a school psychology seminar.
Probably wouldn't be ready to send them for a few weeks yet, but
okay. As
we get them ready, we'd be happy to send them out.
Okay.
At this point, and you know, people can look at it and see, but at this point, it's looking like in some ways some of the materials are, well, I don't know. As we worked on them, it seemed almost as though they were more focused on training programs, more related to Goal C.
Mm-hmm.
Goal B is the goal associated with practitioner-level involvement or practitioner-level training. And practitioners could take a look at this and help us, you know, I mean, that's really what we need. And so for folks who are practicing school psychologists, we'd love it, you know, if you could really get involved at that level, because we just really need your input.
Mm-hmm.
There are some other things regarding that goal I think that would be helpful, too. But I think at this point the main one is, do these materials make sense for practitioners?
Mm-hmm.
Are they helpful to practitioners?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I think that the parent consultation module, for example, would be very helpful to a practitioner. It's got a lot of tools and forms and materials, you know, meant for use. Some of the background information modules is very good conceptual information and research review and that sort of thing, but it doesn't have the practical applied, you know, how do I change my practice or how do I integrate this into my practice kind of emphasis as the others do. Still, we believe it's very, very important for practitioners to have that orientation that's involved and presented in the first couple of modules.
So I think one area that really excites me is using...
And who is this?
Oh, I'm sorry. Kay and...
Kay again, sorry.
Using practitioners to help us create the case examples. I don't know if in the modules that you've already developed, if you've used hypothetical cases or actual
cases. They're real.
Cases.
They're real cases.
Are they
yeah.
real? Yeah. I would say practitioners would have a very significant role to play in providing those real-life examples.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, the way the case studies are presented, you know, is one way of doing it. There's lots of ways that we could present case study and different ways. We have specific, you know, background information and data, you know, showing what, you know, kind of occurred is a function of the consultation work. But certainly there's lots of ways cases can be developed just for you know, discussion and thought and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Based on, you know, real-life examples.
This is Margaret in Montana, too. I can see further on down the road an application where we can connect with community agencies, too, who are very active in training parents. So, for instance, here in Montana, we have a statewide Parents Let's Unite for Kids group that's very active and always struggling for how do we get parents involved. And also Families First here in Missoula does a lot of work and struggles with the same thing. So it seems like these materials could go outside of school psychology from what I saw so far and can really help us bring in the community agencies to help us with the school connection.
That's an excellent point, Margaret. And I think we do want to continue to do that, is think outside of school psychology as well.
Yes.
This is, I mean, the Futures work was really geared toward how we can move, you know, the field into these important directions, but I think the way to really impact, the ultimate goal is to really, you know, enhance services for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that is clearly well beyond the scope of what we do.
This is Jenny Harvey.
Hi, Jenny.
And one of the things that comes to my mind in terms of the work with the practitioners is that we would really need to be addressing the typical barriers as well as the models.
Yeah.
The barriers as well as the models?
Yeah, the writing that you all have done in terms of the barriers to parent school collaboration, which I think that's what people find insurmountable.
Yeah.
A lot of people are I think the tools are very helpful, but just the issue of time as an example.
Yeah. And that's what people will ask. What about the family who X, you know, or
right.
what about the situation
right.
where, why? I mean, that's what always comes to mind.
Right.
Hitting that head on, I think, is an excellent idea. Do you think that as a separate module that would be beneficial, how to deal with challenging situations?
Oh, I think that would be great.
Yeah, I do too.
That's a great
thing. The thing is that there's so many various of different kinds. Like when I was doing something for the State Department of Education in Massachusetts, I found that the parents, the poor parents, wanted to meet on Sundays
right.
because they could not go. They didn't want to lose a day of work.
Uh-huh.
And also they didn't want it sometimes to meet in the schools. Why don't some of the more suburban parents say, why don't we just meet? Why do we always have to go to the school? Let's go to the pick up a street and in the community and do it there. So it is a community school. That was, it came to it. I think parents are very, very good at finding how to go around this, but this is not an easy job, and there's so many, the schools make a lot of, put a lot of hurdles on people. And
Right. And I think the barriers go in both directions and all sorts of, I mean, Sandy Christensen's article on that is really good. And I think that hitting that, like you said, head on would be pave the way for people to be able to use the modules that are being developed.
You know, this is Kathy from Colorado, and being a practitioner or supervisor of practitioners, and we are really launching a parent-school partnership initiative here. I would throw in that the administration and teachers, there's tremendous barriers at that level, and that if we could include something in there that we could practitioners could present to staff, to communities, to executive directors, to parent groups within districts, it would be fabulous. Because this is a whole new area to address explicitly. People always say, we have parent volunteers, this kind of thing. But to do this in a strategic way that truly involves parents, it's the barriers, at least we're experiencing that. People don't have time. They don't see how it relates to academics. It's really about literacy. If we had a module with some very explicit kind of training, I think that'd be fabulous for practitioners.
Training
for how they could how they can influence system change in their buildings around this issue.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, this
Go ahead, Jia Li.
At this point, I really want to add. I think to do that, we really need to get administrators and policymakers to understand that. In many of the public schools, there's contract between the teachers' union and all these. So after certain hours, or before certain hours, teachers not supposed to work. So these things probably, I think what Ina is working with APA, that's one part, and the other part I really need to get into public school system. At this point, if there's even one school system is willing to try that after they get some sort of experimental evidence, then get to policy making and pushing that, seemed to me would be a great approach. This summer, as I put in the email, that Ina and I are going to go, in my mind, because I attend the Massachusetts School Psych Board meeting, we talked about how school psych get into the state teachers organization through their conference. It's large scale, well attended. Sort of give it a try, see what's their response from administrators and teachers to this.
And I'm going to want another element of the population is businessmen. I found when we were doing an NSF grant that a couple of companies picked up the grant. So, like McDonald's, they had a night of science at McDonald's where you learn about science in your menu and your parents came with you and the parents learn about science with the children. And that was very, interesting because the parents don't always think that you can teach like that.
So what we're really talking about here is that, I don't know if it's one separate module or two separate modules, but the first idea was a module that can address how to overcome challenges associated with implementing family-school partnerships. or promoting.
Promoting
families
yeah.
to partnerships. And that would include, you know, some basic structural kinds of challenges, mm-hmm. but also professional challenges associated with, you know, other people that we work with, how to impact administrators, teachers, parent groups, community members, businesses, to really make this more of a community system kind of priority. Now, I don't know if that would be a separate module. Maybe not. Maybe that's all sort of. Many of the modules that we're developing can be used with other audiences.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is down later in the agenda. You know, we do have comments about other audiences that we could think about. And it might require different kinds of action steps, but in developing the modules, we should be thinking about audiences. And I don't know exactly how that will all look at the end, but I think we shouldn't, as somebody's already mentioned, assume that we are the only ones that will ever see these materials. That would really be a shame.
Yeah. Yes.
But still, we need some structure in how to best influence and interact with and interface with these other groups. Buzz, you do a lot of work in that area.
I do a fair amount. This is Frank Smith from Georgia, and as you're talking about that, Sue, I'm reminded of an Indian restaurant I ate in recently where the Indian names were listed for each item on the menu, but then kindly they had an English explanation of what each dish was. And I'm looking at the names of all the various modules, and I'm thinking that if there were an expanded description of those so that each one had kind of an at-a-glance description, such as this is what this accomplishes, here's how long it takes, here's the materials used, and here's what you can expect to benefit from this, that would make it so much more user-friendly, so that the agency approach that was mentioned by the person from Montana would be that much easier for choice and implementation.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. That'd be easy to do. Yeah, we're still kind of thinking about packaging. I mean, that gets us into sort of a marketing kind of mindset. It's not my strong suit, but that's important. I think we shouldn't minimize the importance of that, how to really make it as user-friendly as possible.
Otherwise, it can stay pretty esoteric.
That's right. And actually having people begin taking a look at these now would be really helpful to get that kind of feedback. Now, I say look at these. To be honest, we have, as a group here in Nebraska, and I don't take any of the credit. My students have done a phenomenal job putting these materials together, have developed three modules that are near complete or near a point where we're ready to share. And you'll see on the sheet that is the general information on homeschool partnerships and family intervention, so that's sort of the background information. Process variables, conditions that are necessary to support homeschool partnerships. This is about attitudes that people have about partnering with families, both from both perspectives, really, parents as well as educators and others. And this is about the atmosphere in the school, the climate in the school that really promotes or detracts from a real partnership orientation. That's what we mean by process variables, the prerequisite conditions that are necessary to really, really make this work in a serious way. And then the other one that's very near completion is the one that you saw Katie showing on the video clip the other day, and that is parent consultation. And that we thought it would be important to include one that really does depict this evidence-based approach to our work. And so we selected the parent consultation because we had a good start on it already. And that one's very close to sharing as well. Now, the others still need work. And I'm hoping that some of you or all of you or teams of you are interested in taking pieces here and beginning to develop some modules in the areas that are still necessary. What are your thoughts on that as an approach? Are you feeling like this task force can go ahead and start doing that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
And actually, some of the stuff we can apply to the minorities too.
Okay,
I think, you know, this goes through so many angles. Now that this person from the State Department of Education, here in Massachusetts got a big grant from NSF, and they gave the money to to fund 58 coalitions that they give money yearly to get the parents to like science, to get the parents to get their children involved in science, to get the schools to involve the parents in science policy, science teaching.
Science stuff, yeah.
And that actually worked very well, and it has continued. I am going to check out with the guy that has been following this up. Is that that needs to have commitment, and constant commitment, not just a year. These things take time, so you know.
It does. I should mention too. We have a small grant that that was written with some of my graduate students, and we submitted it to the leadership roundtable for this future's work. And we submitted that a month and a half ago, and still have not heard anything. It's not a ton of money. It's not the size of an NIH or an NSF grant.
Yeah.
But it will be money to help support the development of these modules, essentially. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much to Pat Rohr, who somehow convinced the New Hampshire Association of School Psychologists to give us a little bit of money, too. And that is supporting this conference call, and that's supporting some of the materials dissemination that we'll be doing as we make copies of materials and that sort of thing. So thank you for that, Pat.
You're welcome. I still think we should be able to hit the other school psychologists.
State.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it was real easy.
How did you do that, by the way? Did you share anything with them, or did you?
Yes, I shared what our direction was and what we wanted to do, and because I wasn't feeling well, I sent it as a letter, and I had no clue that it would be supported or not. I mean, I wasn't even verbally.
That's great.
Doing it, so
They
were excited about it, and if there are modules that need to be,
that's a good idea.
Tried, I can get that to happen in New Hampshire.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. They've already, given us some support for this, so they really should be among the first to look at them.
I'm going to say, Sue, that the times are with us. I mean, with all this, difficulty in children not learning, being behind American children, being worse than other countries. The economy needs people that are well educated. There's a tremendous rationale and important. I think the newspapers here in Boston, it's almost every day there is an article on education, who's behind, who's not behind, what to do. And I never seen it so ripe, so it's so much easier to go and talk to people, talk to the mayor, talk to the State Department of Education, or, it's easier.
Yeah, well,
If we don't do it, we're not going to get anywhere as a country.
That's right. So we'll probably, and maybe in a follow-up phone call or at NASP or something, we should talk about some strategies to, support this work more fully. I'd like to, though, we've done everything thus far without any budget. It's definitely something that's very doable. I mean, we're not talking about... All the videos that we pulled together are actually videos that we already had available, probably all of which were developed based on previous grant work, but that's public domain, so we can use those materials. And so I think that's the idea, is to be creative about where we can pull some of the best materials that are already available and how to package them in a way that's going to be most user-friendly.
This is Jenny.
We're not talking about high-end, production at all. We're not talking about low-end either. I mean, we want quality materials, very professional materials, and I think we'll get there. But for now, we're in a place where we really need to round this out a little bit, flesh this out, and broaden it. It really can't be a small operation here at the University of Nebraska anymore. It won't reflect the need. It won't reflect the important areas that need to be covered. It won't have nearly the impact that it really deserves. So I guess I'd be asking at this point then if there are people who would volunteer to be involved in the development of some of the modules, at least getting a start on these in the areas, either the six types of programs with evidence-based models, for example, parent involvement, parent training, preschool, or Ina and Chi, I don't know if you wanted some help working on the cultural piece. I know you're doing a lot of stuff, and we're at a point now where it would be great to begin packaging that.
And also we did a chapter for Bonnie Nastassi on school psychology, and it was on diverse parents. And we discovered a lot of new stuff that we didn't know.
That's good. So
yeah.
There's a lot of work to be done in that area as
yeah.
well.
Oh, nice.
So this is Margaret.
Do we have any takers?
Could I ask what the timeline is on this?
It's whatever people can do, to be very, very honest. We started this work, a couple of years ago. It's been pretty slow going. It's just in the NAST last year was a real pivotal point for us. I felt really great about the interest that all of you showed and the excitement. We had a number of meetings at NAST and then turned around and began really kind of jump-starting this. And so it's been the last 6 months or so that we really made the greatest amount of progress. But there's no, I wouldn't say that we have to have a firm, absolute deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I work better under that kind of condition sometimes.
I do too.
It's totally open-ended. I think we should talk about that, though, as a group. What's reasonable?
This is John Lasser. I'm very interested in the preschool piece and would be willing to work with others on that.
Great, John. Thank you.
Where are you from, John?
Texas.
Oh, Texas. Okay. We are too.
Well, hi, this is Aviva DeBonnie from New Jersey.
Hi, Aviva.
Hi. I would like to work on the homeschool collaboration, and if anyone else would like to help us,
great.
That would be great. But I can't commit to a timeline. I think one of the issues with collaboration, though, is to define collaboration
mm-hmm.
and make it distinctly different from consultation in some other areas.
Yeah.
I think that's a beginning problem.
Yeah.
And I am doing some work on collaboration in general, so that would be helpful in defining the term first and foremost.
The thing that we should do with all of these areas is there's a mini-series coming out in School Psych Quarterly. We should be getting it any day now because it was the last issue of 2005. But it has Cindy Carlson's, there's a mini-series on these six areas.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
The literature review that they did, and they do just that, Aviva. They define the constructs.
Oh, that would be very helpful.
So watch for that. If you don't subscribe to SPQ, I'd be happy to send you copies. I have pre-publication drafts of all of those.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can you email me one?
I don't know if I can email it. I don't think I have it electronic.
Oh, could you fax it? Oh, email
you
then.
I can send it. Yeah, I can definitely send it. What I'll do after the conference call today is send an email around asking for mailing address and fax numbers and all that kind of thing so we get a working list together and then follow up with things that people need to get started.
Okay.
What else? We've got preschool. The other thing that would be helpful is if you have colleagues or students or interns that would be interested in working with you, think about, collaborating with folks who you work with, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, as Ina already mentioned, we'll continue with our multicultural piece or cultural consideration piece.
Uh-huh.
But one thing, at this point, I want to ask the team that if you feel this is a good idea, originally I thought I would go to the International Conference of School Psychology this year in China, focusing on, because they have one of their themes, a topic is relationship, harmonious relationship between children, family, and teachers in order to promote mental health in children. So I originally thought I would do the Asian American piece, but now family and school and relationship. But now I thought since we have this task force, we could use this opportunity to have a kind of sharing of what we are doing as a task force. That at this moment while listening to you, I thought that maybe more important or impact more people than just my kind of specific piece about Asian American family.
Huh. Well,
I think that'd be great.
I think it would. I'd really value that. I think it's up to you, Chi, if you want to use your time there doing this. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think according to their guideline, each person can only present twice.
Uh-huh.
So they have a deadline of April. I think if you feel this is something would be helpful for us to have opportunity as a group, as a team, task force, to be connected with international other countries on a similar interest. So I remember last year we had a PowerPoint. If we have further development, we can update that. If not, I can use last year's PowerPoint to share and also to show our interest in
Okay, I'm watching the time here. I was trying to keep the call to an hour. And I'm just kind of wanting to make sure that everybody gets, you know, has a part. Everybody has a role.
This is Kay Bicey in Seattle. I need to speak directly with my colleague Ken Griff, but I would be interested in really any of the five remaining types of programs. My interest primarily is in getting the practitioner's perspective. I'm going to be on sabbatical and returning to the field next year.
Oh, wow.
And I had already planned to use part of my time to solicit case examples of barriers or maybe some of the process variables that you've identified. But I could also try to get some case examples that illustrate the, you know, evidence-based models. I'm not quite sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I could see myself maybe contributing to multiple modules.
As it cuts across the different domains.
Yes.
What about the barriers? You know, that's not on this list because it just came up today. That would be one that we'd be benefited if somebody could tackle that or begin to think about addressing that one.
This is Jenny. I would be interested in that.
Great.
I would as well. So
who
maybe
is
Jenny. Is this Jenny Harvey?
Yes.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
And who else?
Kay Bicey in Seattle.
I'm sorry.
And this is Ken Greff in Seattle as well. If I could follow up with Kay there, I would share that interest across several of your domains. I'm thinking that we're well positioned to certainly field test any of these models since we'll be offering this class spring quarter and then again fall quarter.
Okay, great.
And so that's an option. The development of case examples, including what districts here in Washington may be or schools may be trying to apply some of these evidence-based models. We have a connection with the Washington Alliance for Better Education that is a network of a number of local school districts. And through this class, we're going to be interacting with them and looking at what's actually happening in some buildings in this area, having the students do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we might be able, if we can see a connection and there we have people actually using these, we may be able to get you some case examples for your modules. And so we can certainly try that.
Across the modules?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is Margaret Beebe Frankenberger in Montana. My interest is in parent involvement, and I would like to work on developing that module.
Great, Margaret, thanks.
This is Kathy from Colorado, and I work with a school district. We have 46,000 students, and so if there's a way, and actually we're looking at training more of our school psychs in parent training and family interventions. So I'd be happy to do that, but being a practitioner, I'm not really associated with the university, so it puts me in a somewhat of a different position, I think, as far as, I don't know, maybe linking with someone else who could work with me on that, and or know that we are a large district, and I would love to pilot some of these modules or make them available to, we have about 100 social workers and psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
To make them available to them in some capacity would be a way to pilot some with practitioners.
Okay, great.
This is Sally Hartman in Iowa, and as a practitioner, I'd be glad to pilot whatever you're needing piloted.
Okay. So I'm hearing that some people are saying that it makes more sense for them to get involved in helping develop some materials. For others, it makes more sense to pilot test what is already available.
Or else partner with someone in some capacity.
Yeah.
That'd be great too, Kathy.
This is Jenny Harvey again. Also, I was wondering, could one of the modules that's already been developed be shared so that we have kind of a
format?
Oh, yes. Yes. I think that would be really a good idea. After the call, I'll work on ways that we can make, you know, get copies made and make those available. We'll probably have to send them hard copy right now, and it may not be totally complete. We're hoping that everything is going to see around and that sort of thing. That's going to take a little bit of time. But we can certainly send hard copies just so you have something tangible to look at.
Okay.
Hi, so this is Aviva Degani again. I'm teaching a consultation course, and if the parent consultation model is close to completion, that would be a nice place to play around with that and see how that goes with the pre-service people.
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful.
So
yeah, also,
can do the parent consultation module. I hear Ken and Kay and Ina. I think I heard you say that you wouldn't mind looking at some of the materials and possibly piloting them in a class.
Oh, no. Frankly, and with Virginia, I would like to look at the minority barriers that are there. And also, I can't find an African-American school psychologist that we, you know, I haven't identified one. If you know somebody who knows a lot about it.
Yeah, I know one.
Okay.
Okay, so, Ina, did you say with Margaret?
Actually, Harvey, you know, Virginia Harvey, she's right here.
We're
both in Boston.
Yeah, we're
next door. And we share, you know. So.
She's doing barriers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doing barriers and also doing attractions, just out of the experience that I had with this other program that worked for some people and didn't work for others.
Great.
Yeah.
Anybody interested in parent education?
Can you tell me how you're defining that in a way different from parent training?
Yeah, that's I think, one of the issues.
I would have to go back and look. Who did that summary? Does anybody remember? I'm looking at my students around the table who summarized that, parent education. We went, but with the definitions that that Cindy Carlson and her group came up with, and I'm pretty sure that parent education was a more global, broad-based approach, whereas parent training are real specific kinds of things. We're teaching parents about behavior management, for example.
Okay.
Parent education is much more broad, sort of diffuse. I'll be very honest, there's very little evidence-based support in that area. There's just not the ones that we've identified are sort of iffy. So it might turn out that as we look at these things, we'll want to blend some of them and combine them.
I know in our district we have kind of developed a multi-tiered model with parent education being kind of a more universal, broad kind of, with the parent training being more for specific needs.
I think that's how they defined it as well.
Okay.
So one is building a knowledge base and the other is building a skill set.
Yeah, that would be a good way to characterize it.
That's a good definition.
Thanks, Buzz.
But I was going to say that in Cindy's paper, did she find anything that was actually working well? Because I know parent involvement, she didn't think it worked well. You know, I didn't see the last version of it, but it was kind of hard for her.
It was really hard. And a couple of those areas, parent involvement, you can see the list that I sent around.
Mm-hmm.
On the
There's
a couple.
But there are not that many. There are not that many. So it's very hard to, you know, we have to do a lot more than that before we dismiss it.
This is Lisa with NSEAM, and I'm interested in working on the parent involvement piece.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so, Margaret and Lisa, maybe the two of you could connect afterwards, and as I send materials around, you can start thinking about how you could work together on that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Just need emails.
If Connie Patterson couldn't make it today, okay, how about Amanda? Is Amanda on the line? No, she didn't make it. Sally, are you interested in anything? Is Sally Hartman on the line?
I'd be more interested in piloting materials than developing them, but I can do either.
I'm just asking, you know, truly, what seems to make sense at this point for you. So I just want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to be involved. Anybody else want to work along with somebody or?
So we've got a parent mentor consultant here at the State Department who works with parent mentors all over the state who have children in special education.
Ooh.
And I will sit down with her once I know you know, I can compare and contrast the six different areas and see if there are ways that they can either use some of this material, field test something, or show evidence of something that needs to be developed.
Okay.
And I'll pick and choose based on that.
Okay, great.
So this is Kathy again from Colorado. Do you have me down for parent training and family interventions?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. And if anyone else is interested, that would be wonderful.
Susan, this is Ken in Seattle. Why don't you put me down for family school collaboration?
For number four?
Yes, you're going to be work. Okay, what's your name again?
Ken Greff in Seattle University.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay, I'll summarize it then. I've got, in addition to the ones that are completed already, the cultural considerations will be Chi and Ina will continue to work on that. Family school interventions with preschool children is John Lasser. Homeschool collaboration would be Aviva and Ken Greff. Parent involvement would be Margaret B.B. Frankenberger and Lisa Persinger. Parent training and family interventions would be Kathy Lines, but she wants to partner with somebody, so Kathy.
This is open.
Okay.
I said the position's open. Someone's a partner.
We'll see what we can do here. And then barriers would be Ginny, Kay, and Ina. Sound right? And then as far as piloting some of the materials, help me group who have taken notes. Ken and Kay in Seattle are certainly interested. I heard some practitioners, Pat Rohr, the New Hampshire group, maybe not you personally, Pat, but the New Hampshire group.
Hey, I'm back at work full-time.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Well, good for you. Good. I don't take off too much, though. I mean, don't take on too much to do.
Well, I'm not. I'm not going to the convention this year. That's my only...
Oh, we'll miss you at dinner.
Oh, I know. I can't do it.
Okay,
too much time off.
Can go away with time. Yeah.
Kathy Lines, you would pilot this as in your state or your district?
I can try both. Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. True. There are different levels of piloting.
Okay,
Sue. Let's see. Did I miss anybody?
Yes. Sue, this is Aviva.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to pilot the parent consultation in the class.
I see, Aviva. Sorry about that.
Yeah, the parent consultation in the consultation class.
Right.
And John would like to do the same.
And John, I wrote your name down somewhere. Maybe. And so, John, maybe I didn't write that down. You wanted the parent consultation?
Yeah.
Module?
That's right. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay. The last thing I think that would be helpful to talk about is the next time we can get together. And I was hoping that at least a good number of us will be going to the NAS conference in Anaheim. I would like to schedule a time that we could actually meet face-to-face and begin sharing some of the materials or sharing some of the feedback for those who are piloting these in a, you know, probably about a two-hour meeting at the conference. Can I get a sense for how many of you are going to the conference?
I'm going. I am going. Yearly.
Yeah. Ina Nuttall.
Danny Harvey.
Frank Smith.
Aviva DeBarney.
Kathy.
Okay, a lot of you are going.
Mark
Dave Schreiber.
Who's not going?
Kay in Seattle's going.
Who's not going?
I can't go, Pat.
And John Lasser cannot go.
You will be going.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Texas.
This is Ken in Seattle. I won't be able to go.
Okay. So a good number of us will be attending, and a couple won't be going, but I'm sure there's ways we can keep you involved. How does that sound, everybody? Can we? And I'll work on trying to find a common time.
Sure.
And midweek sometime.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we'll send an email out around that too. I think that'd be great. So there, a goal would be then that at the NAS conference we would have some materials to share, or ideas, or outlines, or you know something tangible that we can at least start working with as a group, as well as for those who are going to be piloting some of the materials, some feedback. And I can think about, and I'll be very happy to get you know, ideas from you, the best way to structure this session that we'll have together. But I think that'll be a wonderful opportunity for us to get together and have some good working time together.
That sounds good.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Sounds good. Stir the pot.
Oh, I try.
Yeah. I would email to Sue and probably everybody, whoever interested in going to China to present with me on this. I would have the material and then get people's feedback.
When is that, Steve?
It is July. July the 15th. July the 15th to the 20th in China.
Wow. The hottest time.
I may be going, and if I do, this is Dave Freiberg. I would love to work on that.
Yeah,
awesome.
Please.
Is it going to be in Beijing?
No, in the southern China, in the hot area.
Okay. China is a wonderful experience.
Wow. All right.
And also, they are so different with parents.
Yeah.
And with children, they're so efficient. I mean, they know how to do it. They also do things that maybe should not be done, but they are really models. And you see them on the streets, when you eat in a restaurant, it's just amazing how different. It's really, it will expand your idea of what parenting is and educational involvement and so on.
Mm. Yeah.
And also, you can go also visit a school. I don't know if they're open during the summer, but they are another experience.
Oh, great.
Thank you for the ad, Ina.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you to everybody for your participation, for your interest, for your energy. Thank you in advance for your excellent work and excellent thoughts. I'm really excited about where this is going. I'm really energized by the opportunity to work with a group with really good ideas and some thoughts on how we can really make this happen. So it's a great opportunity. It's a great experience, and I just really appreciate all of your interest.
And so thank you for your leadership. You're the one who's kept it going, so thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back soon. Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.